Well, as my wife shared, we got back on Tuesday night, about 11:15. We landed in Nashville from our Hades mission trip, and I got to tell you, it was absolutely a great week. So we wanted to take some time today and share that with the body because, again, as I said before we left, you guys were a vital part of that as we raised funds and did different things throughout the year to raise, you know, resources for Suzelle and the things that are going on there. Now, just as kind of a backdrop, I was there a year ago, December, with another gentleman in our church. It was just myself, him, and Suzelle, and we just saw raw land. And when I got there this week and walked upon that property, I was absolutely blown away at all that God had done in a short period of time. You could say a year, but she didn't really start till April. So in about 8 months, God has done so much there, and there's so much potential. I come back absolutely on fire and excited about continuing to support that ministry because I do feel like it was birthed by God here in our church. So it's kind of our mission. So we're going to be doing trips more often, you know, at least once a year getting out there. I know some of the youth want to go, and I know some of you have already said, man, I wanted to go this year, but the timing didn't work out. So able to go and be a part of this. You'll see when I'm going to share a video here, but it's about an 8-minute video just to kind of recap the whole thing. You know, we had hundreds of pictures, and trying to recap it into 8 minutes is very difficult. But four of the missionaries are back, and we're going to share, each of us are going to share kind of our experience so you guys get an idea of what has touched our hearts. Now, Apsara, that's Suzelle's daughter, she is still out there for another 2 weeks, and so she won't be here to share. She's feeling very thankful for that because she doesn't like standing behind a pulpit. But what a blessing it was. And be able to see what you'll see in the video, the smile on Suzelle's face. Is just such a blessing, and such, it just touched our hearts. And then she smiled all week long. I just think that's the kind of girl that she is. And God has definitely anointed her for the mission that she's been called to. But yeah, if we'll just take the next 8 minutes, watch the video, try to remember some of the pictures because we'll be bringing those up as each missionary comes up and shares. So can we play that video now?
Good morning. This was my first missions trip ever. One of the best things I think I've ever done in my life. I've written down things that I've learned while on the missions trip. And one of those things is having the longest legs on the group gets you the best seat in the car. I've also learned too that you never leave your partner in the bathroom in the airport, which we did. Haitian roosters, they cannot tell time. Don't take for granted the clean water that we have here in the States. I think there it was unheard of to have clean water. Big Bad Marines, where is he? Big Bad Marines and construction workers scream like little girls over cold showers and tiny little spiders. I have absolutely nothing to complain about in my life here in the States. I have found that the Haitian people are very resilient and they are very friendly and love what we're doing there. I have found too that we are participants in the work that God is already doing there. If you have a problem connecting with people here in the church, go on a missions trip. You will find, as I have found, that they are very caring, funny, witty, and smart. And you will find that you have more in common than you thought. And you just may gain a new best friend, which I have. The other thing is that God is doing an amazing work through Suzelle for her people in Haiti. And I love her to death. That's it.
was RJ. Huh? The water was cold. I'm just happy. Huh? So I'm just happy they didn't hear what I screamed in the shower. But this was my first time overseas. It was my first mission trip, and it was different. My wife, LaShawn, and I have been planning to go to Haiti for some time now. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to make it this time. One of the things that got to me was our first day there, we're serving the kids food, and they had it like wood on the floor, and it was like preparing food for the children. And I'm like, so we're handing out food. After we hand out food, Cezelle hand us each a plate. And it's like, the kids, and she's like, the kids are watching us, and they want to make sure that we're not giving them food that we don't want, garbage. And so when they saw us eat, they were happy to eat the food. So it was just like, I was convicted, because I'm thinking, we have to make sure that there's enough food. But every day there was enough food. She only had so many students, but there'd be children from other places that'd come to be fed. Most cases, this would be their only meals. So like I said, I was convicted in two ways. It was 1 Kings 17, verse 8. It was after Elijah was in the wilderness. He was fed by ravens, and God told him to go to the city, and there was a widow that would take care of him. And he asked the widow to get her something to drink. And he said, by the way, can you get me a piece of bread? And she was like, I don't have any bread. I only have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil that I'm collecting wood right now to prepare to make something for me and my son to eat, and then we'll die. And Elijah was like, go ahead and prepare me a piece of bread, and go ahead and prepare yourself and your son something. And I assure you, the Lord will not let that dough, that flour in the basket run out, nor the oil in the jar to run out until it rains. So for several days they ate, enough that, so it was like God provided for the widow and Elijah and her son. And just like she's providing, just like Cezelle makes a certain amount of food, but it was enough to feed all the kids that she intended and the children that came and some parents and adults that came. And it also, the other way it convicted me is like, God doesn't need me. I'm there, and I was there. I was privileged. God allowed me to be there to experience this, to be blessed. It was just like, it was a different experience. That's it. It was cold, huh?
Open your Bibles too. Well, this is my seventh mission trip, and one thing that I found out here is that in third world countries, the kids are all pretty much in need. They're hungry. They're hungry both physically. They're hungry spiritually. As I was thinking about what to speak about, we had some guidelines. And God just brought to me a section in Acts chapter 8 where Philip was told by the angel of the Lord to go to a deserted place and down a deserted road. So he decided to do what God told him to do. Somewhere along the way, he met up with this Ethiopian eunuch. And God said, overtake or catch up to him. And so Philip did. And he looked at him, and he noticed that he was reading out of the book of Isaiah. And he didn't know, but this eunuch had just come back from Jerusalem, where he was worshiping. And through his worship, he was moved to open up the Bible and start reading it. And he says, do you know what you're reading? And he goes, how could I know unless somebody explains it to me? And so That opened the door for Philip to start at those scriptures that he was reading and expound on them, explain, because he says, who is the author talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other person? And it was talking about Jesus. It was Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus coming and dying for us. And he said, he explained it to him, that there was a Messiah to come, and he basically told him the good news. And when I look at this whole mission in a job of a missionary, that's what their job is to go and proclaim the good news. And every place that we go, whether it's Mexico, Peru, or now Haiti, these kids and these people need to know the good news of Jesus, that there's a God in heaven who is alive, who could be alive inside of us, who will walk through us every single day, whether we're full or whether we're starving, whether we're hurting or whether we abound with everything that we need. There's a God who loves us, who died for us and forgives us of all of our sins and shortcomings. And so as I thought about that, I was like, that's exactly what Suzelle's doing, is ministering to these kids and bringing them the good news. Now, for us, because she's been called to basically a deserted place. Out of the three places that I've been, Haiti is more depressed than any place that I've ever been in my life. Okay, so it's not a vacation destination, although we had a great time. But I can see where Suzelle is being called to her hometown. And so without a doubt, I know that God is behind this, because as we look back at everything that's happened in Suzelle's life since the time she decided to move here to protect her family, she said without bringing her kids here from Haiti, and she basically ran from civil unrest and being threatened, lives threatened, and her husband stayed over there because he worked for the government, came over here, raised her kids, and there was separation between them. She came here, and she said, without coming here, she doesn't know if her kids would know the Lord, but they do now. And she says, praise be to God. Perfect timing. Coming even to this church, she went to Calvary Chapel Nashville. She ended up coming here after they had closed down or moved on. And she met us, and she told us a long time ago that she was planning on doing this. And we were like, that's good. We all have dreams. But it's all come to fruition. And it's amazing how God didn't just let it happen right then. It was perfect timing. We think about the truck that was sent over, donated by somebody in the church. It was perfect timing. It allowed her to walk for a whole year, a whole year. 2.25 miles. It's not easy. It's not like walking on the road. It's a hard walk. And she's in great shape. She looks fantastic. I asked her to jog. She just went, she took off. I was like, I ain't jogging that fast. But all these things, it was God's perfect timing. And even, we can't put it up, but I don't know if you saw the logo for Lake Timon. One of her issues was, I love it, but the only problem is I really don't want the T to be the way it was in Lake Timon. She says, I want a small T, but very big, and I want it to show that Christ is the center of this mission. So Pastor Rob changed it. So that's why, I mean, it's easy to look over, but it wasn't too small of a detail for her. One of the things that Suzelle always said while we were there was, God is good. And that's the way, I couldn't spell it, but that's the way she pronounces it. And he is, because really, I know what it looks like, and we know what it looks like to drive down a road and there's trees and forests, raw land, and then a year later to come back and see that there's roads being cut, infrastructure being laid down, and a development. For us, we say we're tired of it. We want more trees and all that. But for over there, to see development happening on this land, it's amazing. And there's a guy over there named Jean-Jean. He gave me a lesson on how to frame a building with a machete 101. I mean, this guy comes to work with a machete, cuts down a tree, skins it all up, cuts it, puts it together, puts one nail in it, and it stays. He's doing an amazing job. We went to a store and we bought 56 2x6s, 16 2x4s, 128 bolts and nuts, and 4 pounds of nails and screws, and we still struggled. Four of us. He's doing it just about single-handedly. The thing, though, that really touched me the most, yeah, the kids are great. The baptism was amazing. The kids looked at us like we were animals in a zoo. They just stood there and looked at us like, what's he going to do next? If you went like that, they'd take off. They think we were going to come after him. And, you know, that was all great. But the thing that really touched me the most is, and I asked Carol if I could talk about this. It was something that we both witnessed. And I think we all witnessed this. But the relationship between Suzelle and Moller. As I said, Suzelle came here and basically left to save her kids. You know, there was actually a shooting. She had a great job. They have a cook. They had a cook. They had a maid that helped in the house. They had a good life over there, but she came to protect her kids because there was a lot of civil unrest, and it's been hard on their marriage. And I asked for permission to just talk about some of the things that her and I had talked about. And, you know, she got to a point because of time and distance that their relationship had spread apart, almost too far apart. And she came to me and she said, I don't know what to do. And I mean, there's people in this church here and people that have moved on that I've shared the same scripture with. But it wasn't any wisdom. I mean, that's why we have God's word, is because we can keep going back to it. She says, I just don't know if I can do it anymore. She goes, what should I do? And so I said, you need to go read 1 Peter 3:1-4. And so she read it, and I'm not going to read it because I'm past 10 minutes probably. But if you got issues, if you got an unbelieving husband, and she does, read that and see what your responsibilities as a wife to your husband are, what God calls you to do. She said she read it, and it ministered to her. Never said anything to me until this trip. Because I told her, I said, Suzelle, I see something going on here. There's a spark here. I mean, he's sitting next to you. He's helping out. I mean, there was pictures of him here helping out. Those were his doctors that he talked to come there for free to treat hundreds of kids for 3 or 4 days. There was always 20 people in the line at a time. And it was by his resources. And he was the administrator. He was taking charge. He wants to be a part of this. And even though he lives in Port-au-Prince, he lives in a family house, so it's not like he can just pack up very easily. He's got a government job, and he's part of the support for Suzelle over there. And I just saw a closeness between them. And then there was one day that we went to a very nice place that we're not supposed to talk about. But it involved sunshine, palm trees, and water, and it was beautiful. And so I got pictures.
Those are private pictures.
And I happened to be in the water, and they were probably 30 feet away. Now, if you talk to me, I can't hear you sometimes. But I heard something, and I looked at Carol, and I said, did I just hear what I think I heard? And she goes, yep. I'm in the water, and I hear Moller say to Suzelle, Sus, I love you. And, I mean, they were sitting there alone. And then Carol was about 20 feet away. And I looked at Suzelle, and that smile, the very first picture, I looked at her, and we made eye contact, and she smiled. And that was the best thing that I got out of that, because I know that God's word doesn't return void. 1 Peter 3:1 talks about if any of you women have unbelieving husbands, that by your conduct and the way you handle yourself, that you can actually turn your husband to the Lord and he'll be saved. And that's what happened to me. I mean, my wife was going to church, and I was watching and observing, and then I ended up going to church, and then I ended up receiving, and God prepared my heart, changed my heart, to allow me to do the things that I'm doing today. And I believe that this is just one little step for Suzelle and Molaire in their relationship, in his relationship to the Lord. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is working in that marriage. And so I praise God for that. I praise God for the fact that we got a chance to go there. We built 7 tables and a prep table. Big deal for us. It is a big deal for them. Hopefully those are some things that are gonna make their life easier. As you notice, the food was served on the floor. Every time you pick it up, dust goes up, dust seasons the food. Now they have a place to put the food so it's not on the floor anymore. And I can't wait to the projects that we have next year. I mean, what's to come? We're looking to put water on the property, electric, eventually internet. We're looking to build a wall. Pastor Rob said the last time before we left that we were able, because of the giving in the church, to bless Lakai Timon with a nice big check that'll get us started in those things, in that direction. We looked at putting a permanent school building in the front. You know, there's still things being built right now, a bathroom. They want to do a garden so that they can grow some of their own food. There's tons of things to go on. And we have to, as a church, continue to help out and support. I know personally that I've decided that I'm going to do something on a monthly basis. I know all you guys, if you're supporting missions and stuff like that, you can do that. If you do it here and don't go directly to her, you just make sure it's marked in the memo box of your check. But all that stuff goes directly to her. She's got 2 people on staff already. She's got 2 teachers and a volunteer cook. And she's also paying a carpenter who seems to be like staff out there. So there's a great need. These kids are being touched. Pastor Rob's gonna talk about the baptisms. Every single one of them didn't go in the water just to get wet. They knew exactly what they were doing. They had all received Jesus as their Savior first. Just we're following along with the command to be baptized. And so we look forward to everybody's support. The biggest thing that we need right now is you guys to continue in prayer, because we know that God's word doesn't return void, and we know that God answers prayer. Amen? Amen.
You know, so much, when you come back on a trip like this, there's just so many things we want to share with you guys that obviously time doesn't allow, but I encourage everybody in the church, you know, get together with Weldy or Carol or Pastor RJ or myself. Just so much more that we could share. Even a couple things I wrote down as Pastor RJ was sharing, you know, the needs that are there. One thing that Suzelle did let us know about is there's a property just down the road from where she has the school that she's looking at purchasing for her home, because right now she's living with her sister, who's 2.5 miles away. And so the property that she's looking at, it's $5,000 to purchase. So in the back of my mind, I record that, and we're going to have a board meeting and love to get some efforts put together to see if we can't purchase that for her. I mean, that's just to get the land, then they got to build on it. So all of these different things and all these different needs that she has, and we're just trying to pray, God, what do you want us to do first? Also, Pastor RJ touched upon the relationship with Suzelle and Muller. And when I first met Muller a year ago, just a great guy, great heart, but just doesn't believe in the Lord yet, you know. And actually, before we did the water baptisms, we sat down with the kids around the picnic tables, and we were kind of organizing things, and Muller was sitting there right next to me, and I looked at him, I said, "You want to get baptized?" And he's like, "What?" Because I don't speak French, you know what I mean? So I was like, "Do you want to get baptized?" He goes, "Baptized? No." You know, but it's just, I mean, we're just, again, planting those seeds. I see his heart softening. So that's another prayer request, is to just see what God's going to do through Molaire. The couple things I want to touch upon on the trip, certainly the baptisms, but I just first want to talk about the team that God put together. You know, you again, witnessed 4 of them here this morning. Apsara was there as well, and what a great team God put together. We just had so much fun. Apsara's the one we left in the bathroom in Atlanta. which we got on the tram and started riding away, and we had her bag, but we thought she went ahead of us. And then she called Carol and says, "Where are you guys?" And we're like, "Oh!" I mean, as a pastor, you don't want to lose your sheep. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, get on the tram, get to gate C. But then they left me in the bathroom, so I figured it balanced out. It was good. But Absara was a great help because she has a medical background, and so we had the medical team there for 2.5 days, and they saw 80 kids and adults each day. And just the needs that are there, I mean, upset stomachs and the blood pressures that they were getting were people that should be in the hospital. You know, 230 over 180 was some of the women there. So it's like there's so many needs. So they're giving out medications for those things, but they're only going to last a month. So there is a great need, you know, to try to support those things. So if anybody has any connections to medical supplies, that would be a great need. When it comes to the kids, I mean, you think, well, I don't want to give something that won't be used. If you give it, it will be used. I guarantee it. You know, shoes, pants, clothes, everything. I mean, this one kid, we measured his foot because his toes were in his shoes like this, you know, and he was walking around in those shoes. So again, so many needs. But Absara was a great help because she could help in the medical field, and certainly the translation helps. I've committed myself to learn French or Creole by the next time we go, because it's just so hard looking at those faces of those kids, and you want to talk to them. And I'm just terrible at French, but they laugh at me, you know. And that's what RJ was talking about. I was standing by the prep table, and all of a sudden one kid would come around the corner, and he would just stand there and look at me like this. And I'd be like, "Hello," and he'd just, like, "Well, I'm not going to eat you." I mean, like he said, it was like, who's this giraffe that we've never seen? You know, it's like big white guy. It's like, I don't understand. And then another kid would come around, and then another kid, and finally I just jumped down off the table, and I started screaming. They scurried like cockroaches. But then, right after that, that's when one of them came over to me, and then they started surrounding me, and then we got them up on the prep table, and we took that picture. And if you go back and watch the video, the child to my left, his name was Joe Vinson. And when we took a picture, he was literally leaning against my leg, pressing in hard. And after the picture was over, most of the kids walked away. He would not leave my side. And once I got him up on the prep table, you'll see his arm is on my leg. And it's like these kids are starving for male interaction. They don't have dads. These dads, they leave their kids. And it's like, I just want to love on these kids. I want to be able to continue to pour into them. And that's one thing that Suzelle's experiencing. She has 19 children enrolled in the school. But there's about 100 kids that come at lunch to be fed. Because they weren't sure Suzelle was going to stick around. Already she's got signups for the next semester. So this school is going to take off, and we're going to see some amazing things. But it's just, again, interacting with these kids. Unfortunately, Carol, I'm so sorry. I thought about it after I did the video. You don't see a lot of Carol in the video because she's taking all the pictures. And so she was vitally important because if it were for me, we'd have 3 pictures to show. I mean, that would be, I just don't take pictures. But she took what? You're not complaining yet. You're in the video. Of course, as we're crossing the river. But just wonderful having Carol. I mean, she's like having your mom there. It's like, oh, I have a headache. She buffers in her purse. She pulls something out. Take this. It's like, oh, my sunburn. Oh, here, put this on. It's like, totally forgot about the sun. You know, so the first day that you saw us working there and all the green shirts around the table, I got so fried on my back and my neck, that's why I put the towel over my hat. You know, it's like, oh, the sun is here. And but it was so fun to be able to do this. And when we built the picnic table, when we would bring it to the property, we'd set it down on the property, and literally 20 kids would just walk and sit on. I mean, instantly, they were using the tables that we were building. So immediate reward and just so absolutely wonderful. Weldy, he's great to have because he helps translate, and he's a good security guard when you need him. You know, it's like making sure he's sitting there with you. But just, again, the team was absolutely amazing. Pastor RJ, I can't say enough how blessed this church is to have an assistant pastor like Pastor. This man has a amen. He has a servant's heart. He is committed to a job, and he will do it until he totally wears out. He makes you feel bad when you're sitting down trying to get a drink of water. He's just still working, and it's like, glad he's got the right heart because I can't keep up. It's like, that's unbelievable. But everybody did a great job. We all jumped in where we needed to be and do what we needed. Again, the beach thing, I didn't want that to be announced because I don't want 100 people going on a missions trip just to go to the beach. You got to be called by God. But it was a nice bit of a break, and it was kind of nice. I actually got to teach Absara how to snorkel. when she first got in the water, she wouldn't go any deeper than her knees. She's like, I'm like, come on out here. It's the water's nice. She goes, I don't want to drown. I'm like, you're not going to drown. And I had her snorkeling by the end of the day, so that was fun too. And then the baptism for me was absolutely the highlight. I mean, every time I see the pictures, I just start to choke up because these kids were so committed to it. They were so excited about it. As they walked in the water, they had smiles on their faces. And again, I can't communicate to them. I had a translator translating my prayers over them, and being able to lay hands on them and pray blessings over them and their families was an absolute blessing. And even to see the kids around watching, they were excited about what was happening there. And one thing that I think touched me the most is it wasn't just like, hey, a couple kids are going to get baptized, so the whole school wants to get baptized. You know, they weren't just being forced to do it or led to it. They really wanted to be water baptized. They really wanted to identify with what Christ was doing in their life. And that's what touches me, because you want that genuineness, you want that sincerity, and these kids definitely had that. And then Suzelle, I got to tell you, God couldn't have picked a better person to put in that property, because she loves those kids. They respect her, they honor her, and she's so great with them. She's a very hard worker. As Pastor RJ said, she's in great shape from the 2.5-mile walk both ways. She looks great. She was so excited to see us. I would love to see us go at least once a year, if not more often, just to go out there, just to encourage her. And so I say this because in these times that we're away, like the last day, she made me almost cry because she's like, I'm so sad you guys are leaving. And it's like, oh, my heart was just breaking. But I mean, if you ever think about it, I mean, we can give you her email address. You can email her to encourage her, just say you're praying for her. All of these things are very encouraging to her to help her continue to do what she's doing. But again, she has a vision, and I mean, it's just amazing how it's coming together and all the Lord's doing. So as I wrap this up, I've said this a million times. You can look at a million pictures, you'll never understand it unless you go. So we've shared with you briefly our experience of basically putting our faith in action, as Lou said in the beginning, our faith in action. We chose to leave the comforts of our life, to leave the routine of our everyday, to go to Haiti to experience different things and to love on kids. Now, you don't have to go to Haiti to experience that, but it does help you get a good perspective in life. As Carol said, your life will be changed when you realize to just go up to a faucet and drink some water, that's a blessing. These kids don't have that. And so to really believe that putting your faith out there every day, this week, find opportunities for God to use you, to just love on somebody, to encourage somebody that maybe is down or discouraged. That's what God wants us to do as believers, is to put ourselves out there to be used by him, to see what he'll do through us. So look at it that way. Now, as we close this, maybe most of you tonight are going to sit in front of a TV and watch a Super Bowl game. And we're going to see two teams that worked really hard all year long. They practiced, they put in conditioning, they worked out plays, but only two of them are in the Super Bowl. Because there's a difference between those who train hard and those who play hard. And what we do here at church is we train hard. We want to learn what the Word of God says. And we want to equip ourselves to get in the game. So I'm asking each and every one of you, are you in the training mode? Are you still training and learning, or are you putting yourselves out there? Are you getting out on the field and playing and exercising your faith? Because that's what this is all about. It's great to be saved. It's great to know you're going to heaven. But it's also what a privilege it is to be used by God to touch the life of another. And that's what every single one of us in this room can do. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what they're experiencing. When I look at those faces of those kids, I have no idea what's going through their minds. But what I want to do is I want to put a smile on their face. And if I can mess up French real good, that puts a smile on their face. But at least we try. So I encourage you, seek the Lord. Ask God what he wants you to do. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 12, you can put the verse up there, the first verse, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each and every one of us has a race to run, and we need to endure to continue to do that. Many of us in this room are probably discouraged in the run that we're running, in the race that we're running. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God is with you, and he will use you. Amen? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this brief opportunity to share the experience that we have had in Haiti. And God, my prayer is that each and every person in this room has been touched in some way to be encouraged to continue to be faithful to you. As Suzelle says, God is good, and you are good, and you use each and every one of us. I know Suzelle, if she was here, she would say she is nobody but someone that's been listening to the voice of God and put herself out there to play the game, to get on the field and begin the journey of faith. And I pray that for all of us in this room, that we would walk by faith and get in the game and play to our greatest abilities, knowing, God, you'll receive all the glory and honor. So we thank you for this time. Bless us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.